Hey, hams to you, Wells.
Yeah, right. Cheers. Back at you, Eddie.
We stayed away from politics this morning, so we didn't have the Wonder Gal here saying, I just want to get me a beer. So,
Well, I don't know if it's too soon, but I wouldn't want to be Tiger Woods right now.
Drink early, drive late, don't drink late and drive early. But those are lessons that Tiger Woods can't quite figure out how to understand.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you got that much cash flow, you could have a full-time caddy and on and off the course, right?
Hey, college hockey. Wow.
You know, this morning, or well, last night watching the game, you know, and I love playoffs. It's a different sense of urgency, isn't it? I mean, I love playoffs. The cream's rising to the top fast, and I just, you know, like I talk about the Four Nations, the Olympics, just that excitement, that sense of urgency. Now, college hockey, that sense of urgency. I mean, these guys are playing hard.
Doc, welcome. Remote take on yesterday's action.
You know, I wasn't really surprised by any of the scores. It goes back. I think the NCHC is the best conference in hockey. Now the Big Ten's going to argue with that a little bit, but we'll see how today shakes out. But you know, the NCHC is showed itself very well, and it's unfortunate we have to have two of the top NCHC teams play each other, but that's just how the cards got dealt. But
and the Big Ten will tell you that they have the same thing going on. Which they do.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got...
Yep, they do. Wisconsin went playing Michigan State. But, you know, you got to play the best to be the best, and so that's part of it. And here we go. It's going to be great.
So the tournament starts. Goal of the tournament. Thought it was a great individual effort. And it was an unbelievable goal. I think the goal of the tournament was the one Duluth put on the board. Plant to plant.
Well, yeah.
That was a team goal. I'll just say difference. A team goal versus an individual goal. So which one do you take? I probably take that team goal.
But, you know, don't you just get a good vibe from those guys? I mean, you watch them. They bring in their lunch pails to work. They grind it out. They're good. Their demeanor, everything about them is just so kicking. It's fun to watch those guys play.
Did I hear another chuckle on there? We got Coach Morinville on, too, this morning.
Yes, we do. How are you guys doing today?
It's good to hear you laugh. You must be at the lake watching the birds come in or something.
Well, I have a grandson birthday party here, so we have five inmates running around like crazy, jumping in the hot tub and everything else. So
well, your voice sounds hoarse, Dave, so you must be doing a little discipline.
Yeah, the old grandpa is a tough old bird sometimes for picking up stuff. But anyway, I agree. I thought, what great games yesterday. I mean, when you think about the games that we saw, that game last night was Duluth and Penn State was just a great game. And, you know, I mean, and then we saw Western Michigan and Mankato play to a great game. I mean, both scores 3-1. And Eddie, you hit it right. I mean, those Plant, what a talk about a talented game of players when you have the Plant, you have McKenna. I mean, guys like that, it was just, unbelievable game, but you know, you don't win, as you know, Phil, unless you have great goaltending. And every goalie played very, very, very well. No fun.
Dave, you beat me to the punch, and I was going to go, Dave and Phil, you're going to love this comment by me. Goaltending, they never let him in the door. I mean, I think of you and D, you know, that game, goaltending was unbelievable. Yep. And then last night with, I'm watching Duluth and I go, and there were some great opportunities. And I go, Johnny on the spot, just there, just, I would say quicker than a hiccup, you know? I mean, they're just there and you can't win without great goaltending. And these teams are showing it.
The only goal that might have been bad was Bentley got caught with a shot just inside the blue line. But of all the goals scored, that is the only goal. And if you take a look and add it all up, every other goal was earned. There were no easy goals.
Absolutely. And, you know, right. And Trey Augustine played true to form. I mean, what did he stop, like 42 shots?
Unbelievable.
He's making
– he pulled it out for them. Yeah.
He did. He actually did. I think he's
– I agree.
He won the game for –
We lost somebody here, but I agree. I piggyback their thoughts. Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I tell you what. And Phil, you would know Augustine very well after playing in the World Juniors. I mean, he was a stellar for them. And he proved that he's the man, and I believe he's a Red Wing draft pick. So they're getting a darn good goalie right from college that's got some seasoning to him that's ready to answer the bell and knock on the door of playing in the NHL, which is almost unheard of when you think about it, because most goalies have to go and plug it out in the American Hockey League for a while. But he's a dude. But then I look at him and you go, God, he played great. You know, he did have a lot more saves than the other guys. But then you take a look at the other goalies that made the save, Spooner, all these other guys, they played great. You know, I always tease everybody. I said they should change the name of hockey to goalie, because whoever has the best goalie usually wins, you know.
Well, how many goalies win the MVP of a tournament when you, as you've in your career, right? I mean, you can't win without them. You know, I won a few titles where my goalie was MVP of the tournament.
Yeah, and you know, goaltending makes coaches look good.
Yeah. Go ahead, Phil.
And he's carrying on that tradition at Michigan State. You know, that's where Ryan Miller was from. So, I mean, you know, Trey, I had the opportunity to work with him when he was, gosh, it was his first World Juniors, and that was out in Halifax. And he just shut the door on a couple of teams for us and kept us in the tournament, basically. And I felt we probably got hosed during the Canada game just from a couple of goals that they called back. But, you know, he's awesome. And I think he's one of those kids you see each year that he gets better and better. And we know, Dave, that, you know, as we progress along, you know, the goaltenders really don't come into their peak until they're like 26, 27 years old. I mean, it takes a while to really perfect that trade. But I think he's rapidly getting there just by his play the other night.
Don't overthink it. I think if you watched the North Dakota game, goaltender was in the right place, didn't have to make any spectacular saves. Augustine didn't have to make an open break or shut down anything. All he had to do was be in the right place, because there's not a lot of room in front of the net if the goalie's in the right place. And he made a couple of saves at the end of the game. But, yeah, overall, North Dakota, big win. Yeah. I'm going to suggest Quinnipiac made Providence look like they may not need to be there. That was one of the games that I thought would be closer. I thought Providence would give up. I thought Providence had a chance, but Quinnipiac's on a roll.
Yeah. No, they are. You know, and it took Providence a long time to get going. You know, they finally did kind of get it going a little bit in the third period, but couldn't sustain it. And, Quinnipiac's a good team. And I think North Dakota has their hands full, and they're going to have to shut down that big line. It's going to be a good game.
And Quinnipiac, you know, they've been there, done that. I mean, national champions, what, 2 years ago? And, I mean, they remember we had their head coach on the show, you know, and he's experienced and he knows how to prepare. I look at all the whole package. We talk about goaltending. I talk about great coaches. I mean, they've been there, done it, know what to do, and it's just fun to watch what's paired up now.
Well, you know what's interesting, too, is that, you know, that UND game, I mean, you know, the whole thing is you have an extra timeout for TV, and UND still rolled their four lines. And the key in helping goalies out is that making sure you don't give out the rebounds. When you have faith in your goalie that he's going to make that first save, then you know you just have to cover guys around you. And I thought that's what UND really did defensively very well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like I said, you're right, Dave. I mean, and it just, I don't know. I just love playoff hockey. Sense of urgency. Everybody's doing their jobs, and it's fun.
Well, we're going to be back here after this first period intermission sponsored by Beverage Wholesalers. Hams to you. Hams is still brewed in that true family tradition, using the purest water and choicest barley, grain, and hops. So, Dave, you might want to grab a Hams. It'll soothe the voice for you, and you won't have to have the grandkids bothering you so much.
Hey, come back to the goalie
and
show.
We'll be back here with Commissioner Don Lucia, and he actually came back from Denver, so we'll get a chance to visit with him on what he thought about the matchups and those that are coming up. So come on back here after the break. Welcome back to the Hockey Guys. Commissioner Lucia, welcome to the Hockey Guys. You have Dean Wilson, Eddie Christian, and online we have Dave Morinville and Doc Phil. So we'll navigate through this. So we'll start out. What are your thoughts on the Loveland Regional, Commissioner?
Good morning. You kind of broke up there a little bit. Yeah, I'm actually back in the Twin Cities. I was able to jump on a flight last night and a 6 o'clock flight out of Denver since the game started so early, thanks to ESPN. So got home in time to watch the back third of the Penn State UMD game. So it was good. It was a good finish. So it's always a fun time of the year, as you guys know.
Doc Phil, go ahead.
Hi, Don. Hey, great to hear from you again, and thanks so much for coming on the show and battling the TSA security lines, I'm sure, in Denver. But I've got a question for you, a little bit off the wall, and it's about independent hockey, independent college hockey. I just recently saw that Tennessee State University is going to start a Division I ice hockey program. And then one of the schools out east, I believe it's Mercyhurst, is going to drop their program. Give us a little idea. Where do you think the state of independent D1 programs is going? Do these teams have to really strongly make a conference for themselves?
Well, it's a good question, and you know, I lived it. Actually, I was coaching in Alaska at the time when Fairbanks went to the CCHA back in the day, and Alaska Anchorage went to the WCHA, and that was kind of the best for both, not having the same schools in the same league for travel purposes. But, you know, the difficulty becomes, you know, getting home games. The difficulty becomes the end of the year trying to qualify for playoffs and, you know, with the portal keeping guys. So the best scenario, I think, for the independents is try to get, if they have six teams, they can form their own league. Now, Maryville's starting a program. You have Lindenwood. You have the two Alaska schools. You have Long Island. You have Stonehill. That gives you six. So they could technically form a league if they wanted and get an automatic bid to the NCAA. And I think that's something they should be looking to do, because really that's the only avenue they're going to have to try to get an NCAA bid and keep their programs viable in the long term.
So, Commissioner, do you put Dean Wilson in as a league commissioner there? Because he's kind of starting to bother us during the week retirement stages.
I got a little bit of short fuse. I got a short fuse. I wouldn't be good.
Well, yeah, as long as you can handle people calling up and complaining, or, you know, the refereeing stinks, you know, something we've heard about for 50 years.
Watching, I've caught most of the games, and Commissioner, I think the refereeing across all of these regionals has probably been as good as I've ever seen, and I'm not a fan of referees. So your thoughts on how that has probably developed over the last few years?
You know what? We've worked hard, and we've got terrific league supervisors across the country. I actually represent the commissioners with the officiating group, so I'm on all their monthly calls and their mid-year meeting at the Big Ten office when everybody's together. And they really have worked hard to try to have more of a standard across the country, so you don't have the, you know, called certain way in the West and a certain way in the East. Especially with the three leagues in the West, we do a lot of exchanging of officials, which works out well for the officials as well, because it cuts down on some of their travel, and they can get, you know, go to the game on a Friday and get home to their own families on a Saturday night. But, you know, those officials care, and they've got to make split second decisions. And it's a lot easier to go back and say, geez, they should have done this or should have done that, when you break down a video or rewind your TV and assess everything. But you're 100% accurate. The games I've been at, what I've watched on TV, the officiating, I think, has been very good. And part of that, you know, the teams are playing. You don't have the stuff after the whistle. You know, they're not taking any unnecessary penalties like maybe kids do during the regular season. So in many ways, you got the best teams, and they're probably more disciplined teams, and it becomes an easier game to officiate. And when there is a penalty, it kind of stands out, where you're watching and you go, oh, there's a penalty. But these are the best of the best of officials too. And I mean, for everybody out there, these guys, it's a calling. They love what they do. They care. Like if I'm on the road with our guys, if I'm in the same hotel the Saturday morning at breakfast, they've got their laptops out. They're looking at the game film and critiquing themselves, and these guys really do care, and it's necessary. Everybody's going to complain about it because everybody looks at it through their own lens. The fans do and coaches do. But all in all, I think they do a terrific job.
Hey, Coach Morinville, I know you're out there, so go ahead if you have any thoughts that you want to share with the commissioner.
Donnie, I'll tell you what, I am so glad that you are doing this because you're a hockey guy, having coached. I mean, I don't know, I'm going to pump you up a little bit here, but Don coached 19 years of the Gophers and 6 years at CC as a head coach and 6 years at Anchorage. And I looked this up, 736 wins, 403 losses, and 102 ties. That is unbelievable. That's over 1,000 games. For a goalie to add that up, that's pretty good. But I'm just telling you is that everybody loves the job that you're doing, and you're doing a great job, Don, and I can't thank you enough for doing this. But the thing, the big thing now that you're losing St. Thomas in the CCHA, that's got to be a biggie in your conference.
Well, you know what?
Who are you going to add?
That's part of the reason why, and that's the big thing is you know, in the long run, when St. Thomas came in, I thought eventually they might head that way, you know, as they were going to be a Division I institution. And that's one of the reasons I fought so hard with our league members to get Agostana in. Because no matter what, not only were they coming in with both feet in, and we saw they just, you know, had Merrimack got beat in the hockey's finals, they would have been in the NCAA and actually playing probably North Dakota in the first round instead of Merrimack. But that was going to be just a little bit of a safety net too, and they've been a great member. So we have eight teams, and in many ways, eight teams a perfect size league. Everybody's going to make the playoffs. You got the 1 through 8. Scheduling is easier with 8. You get to see everybody more often. You start getting beyond 8, and you'll see it a little bit in the NCHC, which is 24 league games. I mean, you don't play teams very often. I mean, you might see a team come in your building every couple of years and that's it. So 8's going to be a good number. The teams are all in, you know, vested. We're actually going to have a board meeting in June with the presidents and the AD to do a little long range planning about, you know, what we want the league to look like here in the future. And with all the changes that are going on in college hockey from, you know, whether it's the portal, whether it's NIL or payments directly to players, you know, it's just a different day and age, and you know, we're in a little bit of a pay to play, and you can kind of see who has the resources by, you know, which eight teams are left still playing in the NCAA tournament.
Hey, Don Wilson here again. I got to ask you this question: coaching changes. You were at a few different schools. It sounds like an oxymoron, maybe. Is it identical, only different if you go from, let's say, St. Cloud to now you're going to coach the Gophers now?
Well, you know, as Dave knows, you know, it's a different deal. I believe this. I think the two most pressure-filled college jobs are Minnesota and North Dakota.
I agree.
Because of the high expectations, right? I mean, hey, you know, Brad Berry is a heck of a human being, did a nice job, won all those league titles, but unfortunately, you know, they won the national title in 16 and didn't make probably enough deep runs for administration and or fans. But you couldn't find a better human being than Brad. And, you know, same thing with Minnesota. I mean, it's you can get to the national title game, but you get crucified if you don't win it. You know, we took a lot of grief in 14. We lost to Union, who was a good team, really good team. And same thing, you know, Bob had a really good team in 23 and unfortunately lost to Quinnipiac in overtime. And so that's the clock starts ticking and, you know, you get hired and, you know, Brett's a good coach and, you know, he'll do a good job. But it's just a different dynamic, when you're in the fishbowl, because it's not only about winning, it's winning in March becomes really, really important. And that's where the pressure really mounts.
And the game is now a lot different. And, with the ability, I think with the influence of NIL, which is no longer your administration, now it's your fan base. It's your supporters with passion are now controlling things that they never had ability to touch before. But Commissioner, thank you. We appreciate you taking time out of a Saturday morning to be with us here on the Hockey Guys, and enjoy watching the rest of this college hockey playoff. It's going to be exciting. So
Yeah, they are. The games have been terrific so far, and you know, there might be some real true heavyweights out in Vegas, so it should be a great Frozen Four as well.
So thank you again. We appreciate our next intermission sponsor, Citywide Electric, experience you can trust for design, repair, and installation of any home or business electrical project. That's CitywideElectricND.com. So we'll be back here on the Hockey Guys and get into some discussion with Dave Morinville, Doc Johnson, with Mr. Wilson and myself. And Jeff, if you're out there, there's no room on the phone lines for you to call in this morning, so sleep well. So we'll be back here on the Hockey Guys. Well, welcome back. And we were in conversation here trying to figure out how to get probably the news of the week. The Minnesota Gophers found a new coach. So, Doc, Phil, any thoughts on the choice of Brett Larson moving to the Minnesota Golden Gophers?
You know, I know I've met Brett, you know, once, and just a great guy. I was just a little taken back that they quickly named a coach that quick, and I thought maybe they would do a little bit more of a national search. But, you know, I think Brett's a great coach. I think he'll probably do a good job. So, you know, I wish him well. I mean, that is, as Donnie was talking about, that's probably one of the most pressurized jobs in America, you know, right now as far as college hockey. And so I'm sure he knows what he's getting into. You know, he was under Coach Sandlin, who, you know, you got to think about Scott Sandlin. How many assistant coaches that have been elevated to head coaches has he developed? And I really thought that, you know, Minnesota should give Jason Herter a chance, too. I think he's probably one of the top assistant coaches in the country. And I don't know if they did or didn't, but I would certainly hope somebody would give Jason a chance. While you got me on, the one thing, I want to go back to the refereeing, because I think there's an important thing here, and I wanted to ask Don a question but couldn't get in. You know, back when you guys played, there was that regionalization. You knew that the East Coast guys were going to call it this way and the West guys were going to call it this way. And I was really taken back a little bit by Mike Schmidt when he said, you know, I'm working on trying to get all of the officials under one umbrella. And I thought about that for quite a while and I went, you know, that probably does make some sense to try and keep it a little bit more standardized so that you don't have this East Coast flavor or the West Side, you know, where they play a little more rough and tumble. And I was just trying to get Don's opinion of that, because I agree. I think the refereeing for the tournament has been awesome. I have no problem with those guys.
Yeah, I'm just going to chime in really quick, and then Dave, you can go. But, you know, they're letting them play. And what I did like about Schmitty said, you know, I like game management. You know, when is it close, when you let it slide? And that's a real art form to let them play and let the outcome be decided by two teams and not officiating. You know, that's just my personal thoughts. What do you think, Dave?
Well, you know, I think you bring up a great point when you talk about the refereeing, is that I think all of us, I mean, back, you know, to date myself, back when they were doing it, it seemed like, I agree with Phil was saying, every league would referee a certain way, but they didn't really have the national camps that they had for referees. And now they have those, which I feel solidifies everything in trying to get these guys to call it. I think all of us as hockey people feel at the end of a game, we don't want a penalty called unless it's breaking up a scoring chance. Guy has a breakaway, guy's hooking him, or guy trips him as he's going, you know what I mean? Something like that. Then I think you got, you know what, hey, that took away a great scoring chance. Would he have scored? Maybe, maybe not. But if you take it away, you still have to make that call. And that's what I feel all of us are very strong of. Now, to piggyback on the Gopher thing, I mean, it was interesting. I think Brett Larson, when you look about it, they were really looking at him and Bitomi and Raboyne. And when we had earlier, we had a great interview with Garrett where here's what we're going to do. I'm going to stay here. So then that kind of opened up Pandora's box of where do we go? How big do we make it? Do you go completely outside the system? Do you interview, like you said, Phil, Jason Herter? How about Brad Berry? What about calling Dave Haxtell? Would those guys have even considered it? But now you have somebody way outside the box coming in that has no ties to anybody with the alumni. Do you need somebody like that, or do you need somebody that's tied into the alumni to help solidify the head coach, being a head coach? I don't know. I mean, I think Brett is a great guy. He's been under Sandy. He's played his dues in coaching. He's been around and coached at different areas. So he's been around. He even played in Europe. So now when a player comes in and talks to him, he can talk about all the different options for when he graduates as a resource of your team. So I think Brett's going to do all right there. I think it's going to be a pressure cooker, like you said. So it'll be interesting. And the reason they probably hired him is because of the so early is because of the transfer portal.
And now, Dave, I got a question for you. I think of the legalities and the bird dogging of working behind the scenes of working these guys over when they're under contract with another university. Is there legalities of that, or is it irrelevant? Where if I'm at UND and I'm reaching out to the Gophers in my contract, is that all legit and legal, or is that just part of it?
I think the school would have to buy it out is what would happen. So if UND, if Gophers hired, you know, not that they would have ever even been it, but they'd have to buy out Dane Jackson's contract if Dane Jackson ever went, which would never have happened. But let's just say they went for somebody high up at a system, or like, let's take the guy that we're talking about, Pat Fishwaller. His name was mentioned a lot in Western Michigan. And I think they realized how much it would have cost. And Pat was kind of, I mean, it would, for Pat to leave there would have been, make me an offer I can't refuse. And the Gophers would have had to pay huge for it. And I hate to say this, but I think the Gophers are, the AD and the administration are more big in football and basketball than they are in hockey, different than UND, obviously. So I think that's a big part of it, too.
And, you know, and sometimes it's playing the game within the game. You know, I start chatting with somebody else, all of a sudden, where I'm at, they pony up, too. You know, I think of Denver. They don't want him to go. He's a great coach. You know, so they increase his salary. And it's not all dollar-driven, because coaches, they have their egos, and they want to win, you know. They want to win the championship. But sometimes it's wheeling and dealing in the game within the game.
Hey, Dave, you talked to Darby Hendrickson. Yep, sorry. Yep.
No. I was just going to ask you, so what's the magic, because you've been in the St. Cloud system, what's the magic between the Gophers and St. Cloud? I mean, think about this. Herbie started it. He went from the Gophers to St. Cloud. Yeah. Moscow went from St. Cloud down to Minneapolis. Now Brett's going from St. Cloud down to Minneapolis. So what's that connection? Is there anything there, or is that just, you know, happenstance?
Relocation costs. It's pretty cheap. You can just keep living in the same house and coach the Gophers. Come on, figure it out. It's all about the money.
You can Uber that thing.
Your kids can still play hockey in a small town, and you're the coach of the big city. It isn't difficult. Brett Larson's kids are the right age. He's got the right focus. He doesn't have to be big, low rate costs. It's all about the money. But, no, it's the humor in life. But there's a lot of things that come into play.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you realize this, but yeah. Phil, sorry to just interrupt you there. But, yeah, but it's a, you know, it is an interesting point that you bring up, because there has been a strong connection there. But what's interesting, too, I don't know if you know this, but Brett Larson, you know, Moscow was making $750 when he left. Okay.
Right.
Brett Larson is not making that right now when he's getting paid. He's getting paid about $500, which, you know, it's about like what Dean makes a year subbing right now. But anyway, it's just, it's probably,
it's merit based.
Probably less.
It's merit based.
But I'm just saying is that he took a little bit less, which kind of surprised me, especially in the era it is, but he's making more at St. Cloud. And I think, you know, St. Cloud's got a great program there. It's a great university. But things have changed. The dynamics on campus have changed, where that is not as big student-based as it was before on campus. I mean, it's went from like 18 to 20,000 down to about half. And I think that's changed a little bit and made it a little bit harder for recruiting to get guys in. And, you know, they still got some money of NIL, but they cannot compare with the Gophers. But how much is football and basketball be willing to give up, you know? And I mentioned before, I mean, I thought they might interview Darby Hendrickson, who's been in the NHL for many years, but never been a head coach. Could he have been interested in that, especially with his son on the team?
But,
and
But he may still be involved, Dave. You know that the assistant coaching side hasn't been established fully yet officially. So don't be surprised if you don't see Cullen and Hendrickson on the bench with Brett Larson.
You know what, Eddie? I was just going to say that. That would not surprise me because that brings you some huge credence right there for recruiting and, you know, development of players. Matt is exceptional at that.
Dave, it brings the old and new together at Minnesota if they do that, I think.
You know, that's very true, Eddie, and that's I agree with that 100%. And I think hopefully Paul Martin stays on staff. I think he's kind of a hidden gem, and Bob would even admit to that when he was coaching there, that Paul is so good working with those D because they didn't really have anybody that would work with the D there. They had mostly forward coaches. And as you know, as guys involved in the game, you got to have somebody that really knows that position to work with it, because then you have credence when you're talking to a guy. It'd be, you know, like me as a goalie talking to a forward. He'd go like, what do you know? All I know, all you can score on me. But, you know, what does that give you? And I think that really helps, especially with guys like that on your bench and helping out off the ice.
Hey, Wills, if Coach Morinville could keep his voice with his grandkids, he'd probably be in consideration for Brett Larson as his goalie coach.
Well, Dave, and you make a great point about Paul Martin, and I had a chance to talk with him during the World Juniors when we were down there, and think about who he's developed: Brock Faber, Jackson Lacombe. I mean, you can just go right down the line. I think it would be a huge advantage if Brett thinks about keeping him on staff, if Paul still wanted to stay on staff, because he brings a tremendous amount of credibility, but also a tremendous amount of education and intelligence for the defensive position.
And Brett was a defenseman, too, so that helps there, too. So, I mean, if that doesn't happen, he does have that spot that he's played. So.
And we're all aware that St. Cloud State is now in a search, and it looks like they're not urgent, which is interesting because we mentioned the Gophers moved early. But it'll be interesting to see which names come into play in that world as well, to see who might be up. But it'll be a fun one. Here's something that maybe didn't get caught by everybody in the news. St. Cloud State just, I think, announced $10 million going into their facility at St. Cloud State. So they just had a bonding bill, I think, that went through that gave them $10 million for upgrades. Welcome back to the Hockey Guys. That last period intermission was sponsored by Gateway Chevrolet, where you can go, say, big on a Chevy, Silverado, Equinox, or Blazer. Go online at FargoChevrolet.com. So thank you to Gateway Chevrolet. Also like to thank our weekly sponsors, Fargo Force, Dakota Refrigeration, and Carpet World. And I was not good on the clock, but we were having great discussions. St. Cloud State, $10 million going into their facilities. And Coach Morinville, there's a list of ex-players at St. Cloud State that probably are being talked to. So what are your thoughts on that position being open?
Well, it's interesting because when you mentioned that money going into St. Cloud, that's something that place has been a great building. And will it stay the Olympic size like it is? Which, you know, back in the day, like the Gophers, they just changed their rink. But when you look at the candidates that are out there, I mean, one of the guys that for sure you got to be talking about is Nick Oliver. He has 1 year of head coaching experience at the Force, and obviously they did very well that year. And now he's been at Wisconsin. He was at St. Cloud as an assistant before he went to the Force. And after the Force, Hasty grabbed him to go out to Madison, Wisconsin, to coach there. And, Jason Herter. And I'll tell you what, you know, like you guys mentioned here, Brad Berry would be an interesting one. Would he be interested in coming back and doing something like that? And Jason Herter has been around, you know. So, I mean, it's an interesting dynamics of where do you want to go. And that program, I really liked coaching there because you could get guys from Minneapolis and to come up and play there. They can go home before the season starts on the weekends. That's easy drive for their parents. You can grab guys from the north, Roseau, War Road, Duluth, guys that come down there and play. So it's really it's a good school size. It's a good school. And it's got a great business degree there. And as your boys would know, Eddie, I just think it's a good school to recruit at, especially with them being in that conference.
And I think this is interesting because some people forget Herb went in and started it. Gino Gasparini went in and consulted it. So the connections amongst this world of college hockey is a little bit closer than some people on the outside may see, because somebody says, why would Minnesota go to St. Cloud? They're not going to St. Cloud. They're going to the lineage of the coaching and mentoring that goes on. Within you talk about, look at the folks that have came through under Scott Sandlin and his career. Look at the guys that came under Gino. Look at the guys that came under Motzko. Look at the guys that came under Don Lucia. There's a lot of things in the Midwest that people, if you're watching, there really is no loyalty other than if you're a player.
You know, but there's a new batch of guys coming up, you know, like I think of Carl Goring. You talk about Nick Oliver. They're ready. You know what I mean? They've been groomed. They've been mentored by great people, and I think they're ready to make the move, you know, and you're going to see those guys popping up.
Or does a Paul Martin decide, I'm going to move up to St. Cloud?
Go ahead,
I
Phil.
I got two questions. How about Matt Cullen? Would he be interested in, like, the GM position, or would he be interested in the head coaching position? I mean, that's...
The rumor is he's going to be an assistant at Minnesota.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting.
That's very strong.
Is that too much nepotism?
Before Bob. That was something that was talked... Bob was in discussion with that, but it obviously, you know, it was just small... It was talk. So nothing had been solidified. So I think that conversation started, and Brett and Matt do have a relationship. That could help settle that, Phil.
Hey, so I want to go a completely different direction if I can. And Dave, I know you guys.
Well, we can just pull your hook out of the water and settle on a bench if we need to. So we've got control of you. So if your question's too far out there, we'll just cut you off, Doc.
Nah, I can't fish till later this afternoon when the water warms up. So my question is, okay, now that North Dakota State University has decided to jump in with both feet to Division I-A football, does that completely eliminate any talk now about NDSU trying to start a hockey program?
Because, won't happen.
I mean, it is the ideal spot, and you and Dave, you understand this because, you know, back when I was with Orthopedic Associates, you know, we were going to help with them and do it all, and then the rug got pulled out. So has that ship completely sailed now? Because I think they're missing a huge opportunity, you know, but they're so entrenched with their football program that everything else seems to not matter.
You know, it's interesting, Phil, you bring that up because – you're getting my blood boiling when you bring that up.
It's the grandkids, Dave. It's the grandkids.
Yeah, we fought that. I'm going to shut the door here. We fought that forever. Herbie came up, if you can believe this, four times and met with Ed Sponberg. John Mariucci came up here and met with him. I mean, think about that. And if they would have went back in the time in the 80s there, and Orthopedic Associates, Phil, you guys were on our, you know, came and worked on our players, and you were awesome with your help with you and Lundin and Askew you helping us out there. I really appreciated that. But when you think about it, Herbie said it best, the best thing. He goes, colleges are built to serve the community, okay? Now, I'm going to throw this at you. NDSU is throwing all their money into this whole big thing of moving up into the, you know, into another level of football, okay? Will that kind of tamper down some of their fans when they maybe lose a game or two here? I think that Morehead State should do it. Because think about that. They could bring in outside money, and it would help their campus immensely over there. And you could play still over there at Shields Arena or, you know, out there, and you have two rinks, so you wouldn't interfere. You could have your own locker room right there. And I think that would be a gold mine. And eventually you could get money from the legislature and build a rink on campus if you wanted to. But I think that Morehead State should really, really consider that.
You got Morinville.
Wow.
You got Christian.
Wow.
You've got Wilson. And you've got Johnson. You got the bases covered. And you could probably get that done because you guys are all retired, so one guy can have an income.
Well, and you know, yeah, but Dave, you were right. I mean, it wasn't a while back that there was a woman that was the president of Morehead State. I call it Morehead State. And she was really close to having the funding to get it going. I remember it was big talk back then. And then I'm going to switch gears, maybe apples to oranges. I think of SU. I mean, their basketball team did so great this year. Five guys, I don't know, I'll just make it up, 10 basketball guys. Great team. Five guys entering the open portal. Like, that's a red flag to me.
Right. But I'll tell you what, NDSU should really do it. If they, and as you can see, they would make money. You take a look at the donors, and you know, Phil and Eddie, going up to UND, how many cars do you see that are caravanning going to UND hockey games from Fargo to go watch up there? I mean, if NDSU had a hockey team, they would do very, very well. And like I said, Morehead State, it could really grow their money financially. It would put them on the map. And I think that they got to look at it that way, because I think NDSU is really going to be focused on putting in a lot of money.
Hey, Dave, going to cut you off. We're going to run up here. But yep. Big games. And North Dakota, Quinnipiac, Wisconsin, Michigan State. And we got Michigan, Duluth, Western Denver. It's going to be an exciting weekend.